So I just want to welcome you this morning to Father's House Online Church. We've been doing this now since the start of COVID, and it's amazing just to be able to, and an honor and a pleasure to be able to just reach nations for Jesus online.
Yeah,
and this is such a great avenue that God has opened up for the word of God to go out through the nations. You know, the Bible says, can a nation be one in a day? And it's like, yes, it can, because the word of God is going out every moment of every day across the globe, 24/7. Their prayer houses 24/7. So there's global prayer that's happening. There's global ministry that's happening. There's global teaching. There's global prophetic words that are happening. We live in one of the most fabulous eras in history, one of the most fabulous ages in history, as we move toward the ultimate age to come. And we are just excited to see what God is doing, what he's going to be, how he's going to work over the next season in our lives, your lives, the lives of around the globe, to hear what he's doing globally in his global bride, how he's making her beautiful, how he's making her glorious. And I just want to release something before Andy comes to speak to you this morning. Number one, if you have your phone with you, please go to Father's House Facebook page. And on there, you will find the message this morning that's happening live now on Facebook. So caring is sharing. Get it on there. Get it to your personal page. Get it on. I just see some people are already on there. Thank you. And get your friends. Tell your friends. Share, share, share. Keep commenting. Keep set up the algorithms. Keep doing the little thumbs up, the little hearts. And just keep getting this word out this morning. It's going to be such a good word about not looking back, or maybe looking back. We'll see what the Lord has to say.
Where will we go with it?
Oh, where will we go with it? But today, I just really felt, just as we start this morning, I just kept seeing this picture last night of this huge pie, this big pie. And it's like the Lord says that the kingdom is made up of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there's the three aspects of the kingdom. And the Lord showed me this pie, and we have this foundation of righteousness, the crust of righteousness that we all accept so well. And then we have the topping of peace, the peace of the Holy Spirit that descends upon us and breaks through all the battles of our mind and our heart in whatever season we're in. But why do you eat a pie? Why do you eat a pie? You eat it because what's in the middle. You eat it for what's bubbling up in the middle. You eat it for this sweet, sweet thing that brings people together around a plate. And what is it? It's the joy of the Lord. And I just see this filling as this joy of the Lord, the joy in the Holy Ghost, that we in this season, I really believe there's a fresh joy, a fresh anointing of joy, a fresh bubbling up of joy that's happening in the house of God in this season. And last night I kept hearing the Lord saying, tick tock, tick tock. It's time again to start the clock. Tick tock, tick tock. It's time again to start the clock. And I saw a picture of a field that had been laid fallow for so many years. It had just been left and nothing had been sown, nothing had been grown. And the Lord says, it's time to start the clock again. It's time to get out there and sow the seed. It's time to replant for the harvest. It's time to just open the gate, get in the field. And there's people that know that they have stepped back from the call of God, or just generally as believers, we have stepped back from our call to preach the gospel and share Jesus with people. Guys, it's time to step back in the field, open the gate, get in, plant the seed. It's time to start the clock of harvest again. It's time to start the clock of revival personally and globally. So I bless you this morning. God has given you keys. It's time to use them. In Jesus' name. Yeah. I'm done.
And I was just thinking that when you were saying tick tock, tick tock, I was taking tick and I was thinking time in Christ, time of change.
Wow.
And so you spend time with Jesus, then are about to change.
Yeah.
You don't spend time with them, then things stay the same.
Yeah.
So tick tock, time in Christ, time of change. It will happen. So there's another little add on to that word. That's a good word, darling.
Yeah,
good word.
Yeah.
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 So before you grab me a glass of water,
I will.
Do you want to pray for the word this morning. Come on down.
I will.
Bless it.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've given Andy keys of your kingdom for this morning. Lord, you've given him keys in your word that will release truth, and the truth sets us free. The truth releases those things that are heavy on our hearts, God, those burdens on our hearts. Truth enables us to see you. It enables us to know you, to know your thoughts, your ways toward us. So, God, I just declare over Andy this morning, God, the fire of God come to on. Burn. Holy Spirit, that Jesus. You would come even now. Lord, that you would fall upon him mightily, heavily, weighty. Lord, that the manifestation Jesus. Of your spirit would be here this morning upon him, even as we feel it now, God, and we feel your presence. God, we ask you for the increase of that this morning. Let the increase come, Jesus. God. Let it go to the nations this morning. Lord, let your word run swiftly to each one, God, that would come on here this morning or listen on Facebook or YouTube. God, that your presence power would be released, God, like a flowing river, God, bubbling up, God. Jesus. Lord, just touching lives all over the world, all over the globe, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Lovely to have you on with us this morning, and I'm just going to centralize myself in here this morning right into the picture. So God is good.
Amen.
Amen. So did I say that God is good?
Amen.
Have I said this morning that God is good? Sometimes it's good to repeat, because it does what? It gets into your spirit and it starts to awaken the presence of the Lord God Almighty within you, that stirs you up to go after the greater things of the Lord. So God is good. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We love him because he first loved us. And so greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Come on, folks. It's good news this morning. It's power to the soul. It's power that revives you. And so I want to talk to you about this whole circumstance of looking back, you know, and what is it is, you know, when I was thinking about this, well, back in the 70s, early 80s, I was reminded of one of the first albums I ever bought was an album by Fleetwood Mac, and the title of the album was Rumors, but one of the tracks on there was a track, Never Going Back Again. And so it's just a repetitive song, but it's Never Going Back Again, and one step, been down one time, been down two times, but I'm never going back again. And so this is what I want to speak on today, is that you don't want ever to be down in the first place, but you don't want ever to have to go back. You know, so memories are not a bad thing. They're there to actually help us to focus and to actually gear ourselves for what it is we will learn out of the journey of life, because life is a journey for us. And so, but we all know that going back is something you don't really want to ever have to do, or going down, because going down speaks about going into a pit, and a pit sometimes is hard to get out of, but yet sometimes we find ourselves in pits like Joseph did on the journey to where God was taking him to be second in command of the land of Egypt. So the pit was a dark place, but out of there came good. Out of there, in the walking out of the journey and keeping your heart right, that God takes you and elevates you, because he trains you, he equips you in the low times to actually be able to handle well the high points. If you don't handle the low points, then you're going to struggle with the highs. So God has us on a preparation journey that deals with our character, that takes us from A and places us in B, and then graduates us to C, to the Christ walk. So God has you on a journey this morning. You can be assured of that, that this is a journey that you're on. But I want to speak this morning, and I want to share this. I'm going to share a little bit of my story and Sharon's story here this morning, for a season of life that we were in back in our hometown of Coleraine. And we had gone back from, after finishing Bible college here, we'd gone back, we were fired up, we were pumped. God's on the move. We knew exactly, Sharon had a picture of the house we would get with two trees in the background and in the back garden. And we thought, wow, God, come on. We're going to storm the world. We're going to transform the world, and we're going to take Jesus Christ to the ultimate levels and see great salvations. And so we get this house, and of course, one of the three houses they let us look at was a house with two trees in the backyard.
Come on.
So we knew we were on the right track, because God had led us And so we moved in to take a look at it that day. And within 5 minutes of being in that house, the knock comes at the front window and we let this lady in. And she said, are you guys thinking of taking this property? And we said, yeah, we're looking at it. And she said, oh, are you Christians? And we said, yes, we are. And she said then, wow, that's amazing. I've been raised Catholic, but I'm actually gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ last night at the local Elam church. And so again, confirmation in the right place for the right time and the right season. God was moving and God was equipping and preparing for us to actually walk into a season of running after what the Lord was doing. Yeah, do you want to say something?
That girl was called Caroline Rafferty. Caroline Rafferty, if you're watching this morning, or if someone knows Caroline Rafferty, you were the first fruits of a mega, mega harvest in Ballysally. God chose you to be the first one to come into his kingdom. And through you, many came into his kingdom. Just remember, girl, that you have a lot of treasure to present before the Lord. No matter what has happened, no matter how you have felt, no matter how many battles you have gone through, my dear, you have a treasure trove that you will bring before the Lord on that day when you stand before him.
Oh, come on, Caroline. You know, so some of you that are here this morning actually remember those days, but God was on the move. And within about 3 to 4 months, we had seen the Lord bring into his kingdom somewhere in the region of about almost like there was like about 35 to 40 people had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we were getting our door knocked at 2, 3 p.m. in the morning. This one's just got saved. Can you give them the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so our house was an open house, open doors, open people came through the back door, the front door, and they got changed in the lounge and left different. That was the power of God that was moving around us at that season. And then what I'm saying this morning, hear me in this. Memories are good, and memories actually are for us, and good memories are great. But there are memories as well that actually cause us to feel pain, cause us to pull back. And this is what I want to look at. See, when you know that you are in the will of God and God has placed you in a place, and then you're there and you get into this ease of comfort, and it's easy then in that place to think, well, everything's going rosy, everything's going well, and you lift your eyes off of him and off his instruction and begin to look at your own circumstances and think, well, how can I better it? Problem number one, I shouldn't even have an inkling about it. I shouldn't want to know, because if I'm walking with the Father, I'm walking in his ways, then that's the way, that is the place, that is the very place that you want to stay in. You don't want to leave that place. It's like when Moses left the place of meeting and went outside to speak to the people, Joshua stayed behind because he loved being where God was. He loved being in the presence. And we all know that the Israelites were led by the fire and the cloud. And they said, if you don't go from here, then we don't want to go, because we follow where you go, God. And so that's the best place to be. But getting back to this story, so we end up hearing about another church plant in the locality and thought, well, this is good. We'll go check this out. And long story short, we end up transferring and taking our folks down into this new plant and actually becoming part of it. And for a while I was working as the evangelist in the church, and not really recognized as such by the church, but I was in that role of the evangelist, and but never publicly launched from the front. So it became this strain in relationship, and the more we tried, the more it became uncomfortable and awkward. But, you know, sometimes you come up against this in your walk and in ministry, that you hit a wall, and sometimes you need to step back and say, God, am I in the right place? Is this good for me? Or are you making the waters uncomfortable to make me step out of the boat? So you need to know where you are, that you're right where you are, and that you are in the right place. So it's always good to take time to step back and to assess and to see where God is and where he's saying, yes, you're okay, stay or go. And so best to get those bits in place from the Father so you walk it and you get it right. You know, so we're there, we're actually ministering away, we're seeing God do a tremendous lot of things, and the church was really thriving and growing. And one of the best churches I think I've ever been attached to, as far as knowing how to step into the presence of God, knowing how to call God's presence, knowing how to press in singing in tongues, in praying in tongues, until God came in the room. And some of the half nights of prayers, the prayer times that we had there, starting at 10 o'clock through to 2 o'clock, well, they were good up to about 12, and then people started to drift off and go because it was late. But those that pressed in after the midnight hour, between 12 and 2, sometimes 3, wow, God just came into the room in a new dynamic and a new level, and people got lives transformed, changed, and so it was awesome time. So I'm not saying this was not a bad church, but it was just where we were at, and things were not working out. And then the vision that God had given us for the area of Coleraine that we were living in. So we go and we have a meeting with the pastor and say, hey, pastor, you know, this is our heart. You know about this. And we're sitting there talking over a coffee in a hotel. And we say, look, we would like to take some of the people in the church and try out a plant in the Ballysally area. And, you know, and he turned around and said, what is it with you guys and Ballysally? You know, doctors will never come out of that place. And so you need to go up the Mount Sandal and win me some quality people for the church, people that can bring money into the church. And, you know, we sat back in shock and we thought, that's not our vision. We're just sharing with you. And it's like it's closed door as far as you're concerned. So a few days later, after mulling this over short and keeping this short, we actually go in to meet him and basically say, you need to actually listen to what we're saying. And he said, if you press me on this, I will back off you quicker than water off a duck's back. So we began to realize, hey, something has shifted, something has changed. And so we made plans at that point to back out of the church and return here to England. So God was good in that season. I mean, we left there, we were on fire. You know, I'm sure this is speaking to people that have been in ministry that have even got hurt and wounded. This is for you this morning, because I want to encourage you that that is not the end of the story, that your God is still on the throne and our eyes need to be on him. So let me take this a bit further. So we return back to England. We're on fire. We're pumping, saying, God, what are we doing now that we're here? What are we going to get into? And I applied for a leadership role in a church, and it didn't come in. And then a couple of months passed, and I think, God, where are you in all of this? And so, you know, finances are getting tight, and we just thought, I need to get a job. So anyway, the Lord, I believe, brought this about, and the door opened up for me to go back into the electrical trade and to start earning money to keep us, so we could stay alive, because the kids needed feeding and we were like, just think, if we stay here, we'll die. So God opened the door. We got back into work again. And you know what? God provided for us over the next 14 to 16 years through the work of my hands, and leading me and guiding me to the point where I opened up an electrical contracting business here based in Christchurch, Bournemouth. So that was a good season, but yet looking back at it, I have regrets. I have regrets because we were not in the place where we should have been with the Lord. It was not, I believe, the Lord's intention for me to be back on the tools. But in saying that, he did use it for that season because it blessed us with finance while the kids were growing up. But was it his perfect place? No. I believe we missed the mark because we took our eyes off the Lord and began to look at circumstances. And because our eyes were not focused on the Lord God Almighty, heartache came in, disappointment came in, and it just snowballed around us. And to the point where we went through a season where we would take the kids to church and that was our time to go off for a cup of coffee. Yep, been there, done it. didn't want a leader near me because I thought I couldn't trust them anymore. Yep, I put barriers around my heart. I put barriers around us. And it was affecting our marriage because the relationship with God had not taken first place. We had let things slip and we got into a low place. And then God has his ways of moving things and changing things around. And we go back and we try and get back into church proper again. We start seeking God again. And you know, one of the things that turned my heart back towards leaders and leadership was we came across this pastor in Coleraine. And we went to his church. And the first day I was there, he walked out of the gents' toilets, walked up and shook my hand. And he said, "Hey, Andy, good to see you. You'll never guess what I've just done." And I said, "Wouldn't have a clue." He said, "I've just had to clean up some poop out of the urinals." And I looked at his hand as he was shaking mine, thinking, "Well, I certainly hope you washed your hand." But that showed me that here's a man that is prepared to not just ask and delegate someone to go and clean up that mess, but he did it himself. And I thought, wow, this guy is, you know, walking what he's talking. And so my heart began to change, and God took us through a process of rebirthing us back into a place of reconnection. And where we had taken our eyes off the Lord, he stirred us up again until the point he spoke one Sunday morning and said, "It's time for you to step out of the boat. And when you do, don't take anything with you that'll sink you." So that was the start of shutting down the business and relocating back to here to England again. And so God was gracious. God was merciful, but I learned valuable lessons. Number one, about how to lead and how not to lead. I learned that my focus needed to be on him and on him alone, and that my family depended on me as the head to be the leader, to be the guide. You know, Sharon's great. She's got the prophetic gifting and everything, but you know, bottom line is, guys, we have the authority. We have not to lord over our wives. That's not where I'm going. But we carry the authority of God upon our lives to be the household leader and the guide. You know, so I am blessed with an amazing wife. She is adorable. She is beautiful. And she knows how to tap into God. And times in the past, she's actually steered me and guided me by what she has heard from the Lord. And it's actually provided an open key or a doorway into the future. And so God has been gracious. God has been good. But what I'm saying in all of this, what am I saying? Was it a hard season? Yeah. Did our hearts get wounded? Yeah, very much so. Did we recover? Yes. And that's what I want to say today, but looking back, is there is a way to recover out of the hurts and pains that we walk through. Proverbs 27 and verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Mm-hmm. There are some things that we walk through, and I'm telling you today that it's not all a bed of roses. It is a testing ground. It is where God stretches you to hone in on you and to build your character. You may think you've missed the mark. You might have missed your mark, what you thought was should have happened. But God doesn't miss his mark. God is still on the move, and God is still moving you into the place that he designed for you. He's not leaving you in the pit. Joseph didn't stay there. He was there for a while, but God brought him up, took him to Egypt. God took him and took him on the journey into his destiny. And so God never leaves you nor forsakes you. He nor will he let anybody pluck you out of his hand, because he has rescued you. His blood paid a price for you, and he has always had a plan and a purpose for you. So you cannot get discouraged, disheartened, because in the disheartenment, you lose your hope. And you know, hope is a key thing to actually staying strong with God. So we got through this whole season of taking my eyes off God, I look to man. And in this day and age, there is a temptation that's there to look to the big guys, to look to the leaders around the world that have these amazing organizations and stuff. And you get caught in the trap of, well, I need to be where they are, and I need to follow them. And And yet in doing so, you unbalance the principle, because it's not about them. It never has been, and it never will be in Jesus's eyes. It's all about him. And the problem we had was we took our eyes off him and looked at man and man's ways, and it wasn't where God was wanting us to go, and we stepped out of a mark that God had for us. So beware of elevating the who's who in the zoo to a level that you think you need to be around them all the time. Your level and your priority level should be Jesus first and only him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Anything else can be step into error, can step into unfaithfulness, but he is solid. He is the rock, and on him you can depend upon. So keep your eyes on Jesus at all time. It's the only way forward. You know, when you get to a point where you look back over your life, looking back can be good. Memories can be good, but memories can leave scars that need healing. And thank God that our God is a healer, and God takes the wounds and sometimes the hard things that we walk through, even to the point where we blame him for things that have happened to us. It's not him. Most times it's down to choices that we have made, or we've taken our eyes and our focus off the Father and tried doing it on our own until our own strength runs out. And then we're weary, and the enemy has an open door to us in weariness to come in and sideswipe us. It's the little foxes that come in and nibble, 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 bit by bit, time over time. And then all of a sudden you're waking up one morning and things have changed, things have shifted, and you are not where you are. And there's something like you think your heart cannot get back to the place that you were with the Father. And in fact, that's rubbish. That is a lie from the enemy. Another tactic to say, hey, it's all done for you. Your light's been turned off. You've got no connection with your Father anymore. And he doesn't want to know you because of choices that you've made. Rubbish. That is not the God we serve. He is the Jeremiah God that says, I know the plans I have for you. Come on, folks. This is the God we serve. So I want to take Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. We have an encounter about verse 20 where God gives an instruction not to look back at what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the story goes in verse 26, and the verse says here, but Lot's wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So her husband was hearing the Lord. Lord, it was gracious, and said, we're getting you and your family out before I destroy these two cities. You've got rights of access, and I'm making a way for you to get out. But in the journey out, his wife was obviously lagging behind him and made the decision to look back after God had said, do not look back. So she was looking back at something that had already been a lifestyle that she had lived, and must have had a hankering in her heart still for that. And when she looked back, the judgment of God came, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. You don't want to be the person that looks back on life. Why? Because, look, these are in the front of your head. They're in the front of your head to look forward. You're not designed to look back. Looking back is an absolute choice that you will make. And you've got to do a physical turning of your body to get your neck around so your eyes can see behind you. So she made a wrong choice. We make wrong choices sometimes, but you know what? In God's grace and in his mercy, there is ways back to the Father. The prodigal son came back after his wanderings, and the father accepted him, put a ring on his finger and a cloak around him, and said, come on, son, you're back in family. And that was all that the father was worried about. His son had returned, hadn't died in a foreign land. And so the father welcomes you back this morning and would say to you, come back. Don't delay. You know, you've been in a rough, hard place. Yes, I know you've been through it. Yes, I've watched over you. And yes, I have been with you in some of your darkest hours. I never forsook you nor left you. I was there. I was with you. And so that is the reality of the God that we love, because he is like no other. There is no other God like him. and he desires you back in relationship with him. So if you're one this morning that has wandered off, you've been hurt by leadership in church, but there is a way back. Forget the past. Look forward to the future, because God's plan is future for you. Yesterday happened. You're now living in the now, but tomorrow is coming, and tomorrow is where God is leading you. God has a plan and a purpose for you and wants to get you there the best way, the safest way. And how do we do that? Well, we stay close to him. We keep our eyes focused on him and move when he moves. We follow the cloud and the smoke, the fire. When he goes, we go. And that's a policy that we have adopted. And we've had a policy in our marriage that says, if we both don't agree on something, well, then we'll wait until the agreement comes and our hearts are knitted together, and then we move. And that's a good principle to adopt when you're in a decision-making process. If there's not an agreement, hold, stand, seek him for the way forward to bring the answers to that. So Lot lost her Lot's wife lost her focus and desired the old life. Looking back means that you hanker after the old days, or the good old days, and hope for the future is in you and in front of you. So we want to be forward-looking. Proverbs 13 and verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Yeah, I believe I went through that season of hope deferred, and what I had seen was what way it was going to go. It didn't turn out that way. So I got sick at heart, and I put walls up, I put barriers up, and I was determined that I would never go down that route again. And here we are all these years later, transformed, transferred, and back in the battlefield where God really wants you to be. It's time to return to the cross. It's time to come back and submit. Whether you were right or felt you were right or whether you were wrong, that doesn't matter. The past is gone. You cannot relive it. You cannot get it back. It's time to lay those things to bed, lay them to rest, and focus on you, your life, and how you can better yourself. And the only way to do that is in relationship with your God. He is the carrier of all hope. Samson. What an example Samson was. Samson was the man that thought his hair was his strength, and then he let his guard down, got his hair cut off, ended up in chains, pushing a millstone around, grinding for years, like a donkey, like a beast of the field, being used and abused and tormented. The man of God that God had used so mightily in the rooting and the routing of the Philistines now was in chains, humbled, lost his eyesight because they put out his eyes. But in the midst of that place, in the midst of his dark season, he inquired of the Lord, and he returned to the Lord and said, Lord, give me one more chance. And out of that prayer, God puts him by the columns in the Colosseum, where his strength returned for one more attempt. And he pushed down the Colosseum pillars and caused the whole thing to collapse. Even in your darkness, where you lose your sight, has God deserted you? No way has he deserted you. He is there with open arms, like a father welcoming you home. And so he will be delighted if today you make the choice, turn back, put your life back on the tracks with God, and go again, once again, after your God, and know that he is for you and not against you. Psalm 146, verse 5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. There's a key for you. Whose hope? If you've lost hope, where do you find it? Back with him. He is your strong tower. He is your source, and everything flows from him. So you want to get your hope back? Bring back your connection with the Lord God Almighty. Forget your own ways. They're not working out for you. You're not doing too good. And God says, come on, when are you going to come back? When are you going to give up the struggle and the fight, the wrestle, and come back and come into my arms and let me hold you, but let me guide you into the next season, which will be more powerful and more beneficial for you because you have learned some key lessons in life that you will not go back down those roads again. So out of a stronger place in your character getting built into a stronger place with God, the connection strengthens and you get back on track and you move forward with your God for this next season. Amen. The past is behind us. It's not for us to go back into it. We cannot relive our past. We can remember it, but it's not there to relive again or change in any way. It's done. It's finished. You cannot go back. And so all we can do is learn lessons from that time that equip us for a future time. Our future depends on how we've handled the past. So how our character has grown, how I returned to the Lord, how I got rid of the pain in my heart that blocked me from being around other leadership, thinking I'll never trust those guys again. There is a way forward, folks. There is a new day. And today the Lord is speaking to your heart, even as you're watching. And some of you online here have been down this road. You know the hurt. You know the pain. You know the frustration. It's time for change. There's one way forward for you, and that's connection with Jesus, your Lord, your Savior. Come back to the foot of the cross today and lay that rubbish to bed and say, God, here I am. I surrender all to you. I give my life to you again. I put it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, all that crap that's happened, I lay it at your cross. All that pain that my heart endured, I lay it at the foot of the cross. And I say, God, I need you like I never needed you before. And surrender comes. And then you rise up a new person, a new man, ready to run again with your God. The warrior that's in you, the general that's in you, no longer hiding away in the caves. Think nobody will see me, nobody will hear me in here. It's time to come out. It's time to feel that wind in your face again. Feel the sprinkling of the morning dew and the rain on your head. It's time to awaken the God part of you again and come back ready to fight the battle of the Lord that he called you into. Amen. Your eyesight is forward designed. So vision is always ahead of you. Where you're looking at is where you're going. If you don't look, you trip up and you fall. But you're designed with eyes that are forward focused. Your vision is forward. You remember the past, but you're moving forward. So you want to get there in the best way and by watching the foot, you know, because what is it the Lord says? He says, I light a lamp that will light up your pathway. So how do I get the lamp of the Lord to light my pathway? I have to have a connection with the giver of the light. I need to be in connection with him. I need to be talking to him and asking him, saying, okay, God, this is a new day. I'm awakened. My feet have touched the floor. Where are we going today? What's happening, God? And how do we get there? Lead me today like you've never led me before. And that would be the prayer of your heart. You know, in Psalm 46 and verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very ready help in trouble. If you're in trouble today, there's your verse. It's to him, the God of your refuge and your strength. When your strength has failed you and your physicalness and all you can give effort to do is gone. And you're totally deflated, totally gone, flat on the ground, saying that you're almost at that point saying, oh God, take me home. I can't deal with this anymore. You're at the best place ever, because from that place, God can take you out of that pit that you're in and elevate you and take you on the journey with him to fulfill his dream and his plans and his purposes over you. That's where you want to be today. So Habakkuk 2, verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it delays, wait for it, for it will certainly come, and it will and it will not delay long. So take that to your bank and bank it into your spiritual reservoir, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Vision is down the line. Vision is where you're going. Vision is where you get equipped and focused, and you know that God has given you a purpose and a plan. You may not be there yet, but he has given you the inklings and the pathway that's guiding you forward into the destiny that he has for you. And though it delays, we wait for it because it said it will surely come. So we're in seasons sometimes of change and shift. But God is still on the move. God is working on your behalf and leading you forward. So don't get caught in the trap of, well, Jimmy Boggs did this to me 10 years ago and I've never forgiven him. Get rid of it. Forgive him today. Let it go, because it is holding you back from fulfilling the purposes of God. Your character has not been developed yet because you're holding on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is not going to affect Johnny Boggs. he's probably quite happy getting on with his life and totally unaware of the fact that he ever hurt you in the first place. So who is it harming? If it's stopping you from moving forward with your God, then it's hindering you, not Johnny Boggs. So let Johnny Boggs go. Say, Lord, I forgive that man for, or that woman for whatever they did, what they did against me or what they did against my family. Do you know what? It's time for change. It's time for that shift to take place. And it's time for you to step up the getting back into alignment with your God. That's where your best is. That's where your best will be. And that's where you will see your best come to pass. Exodus 14 and verse 13 is the account of Moses when he came down with the Israelites to the Red Sea, not knowing what was going to happen, not even a clue or an inkling of what was about to happen or take place. When all of a sudden the Pharaoh's men come riding down the hill towards them and they think, oh no, some of them were thinking, oh my days, I remember Egypt. Egypt, even though we were in slavery, wasn't that bad. It's better being there than dying today. You know, so I'm sure there was all these thoughts going through people's minds and they're thinking, well, what's God going to do? Is God actually still with us? Did he lead us out just for us to be slaughtered here? No, God always has a plan and a purpose. And his purpose was to teach the Israelites, to teach Moses that by stretching out your rod and declaring the waters to open, the waters parted and safe passage was given to his people across, leading them into the promised land. There is a water crossing that takes you from one part of life across the sea to the next journey, the next adventure, because it is an adventure with God. There is never a dull moment with God. He is always on the move and he is always leading you forward. Our problem is we need to stay focused with him. Our eyes need to be on our Savior. Our eyes need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, you take it off Jesus and you start placing on men and women in high ministry, sooner or later, you're going to waken up one morning and you're going to think, oh, eck, what has happened? Why? And you'll have all these questions that you won't be able to answer. And the simple solution is return to Jesus Christ. Return and make him number one. There is no other God before me, God says. So if we elevate someone to a place where we are just in wow of them, well, then you're not in wow of your Jesus. You're not in wow of the Holy Spirit that actually dwells inside you. What better counselor, what better source of supply do you wish for when God has granted us everything within us to connect us with the Holy of Holies, the very place where you will find wisdom, revelation, and the way forward? It's in you, and he has granted it. He has gifted it to us. So why go looking for other sources? We need to be in the one source and focused on the one source, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, on his ways and his way forward. You know, so in Exodus 14:14, it says that the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Verse before that, Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by the sea and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. Come on, folks. When God brings you out of a place of hardship and a place of heartbreak, you don't get to see the enemy before you or around you again. God will take you forward. And you know what? When your heart gets turned back on to him and the forgiveness comes in and washes, that blood of Jesus washes and cleanses you, well, then your focus, your heart changes, your heart softens, and your heart becomes God. No matter what, no matter what it is, I'm saying yes to you. I ain't going back to no Egypt. There ain't no joy back there for me. I'm not going back to making brick kilns and bricks and getting enough money to scrape through with no hope of a future. That's not living. God says he's come to give us an abundant life. And so where do we find the abundant life? By being in the actual focus of your God, finding his ways and walking in it. So, what am I saying here? I'm saying that if you've had a hard life in your journey with the Lord, Do not give up. Do not throw in the towel. In fact, get it out. Use it to dry off the old stuff off you and get rid of it, because it is holding you back and there is greater days ahead. There is joy that comes in when you get rid of nonsense like that from your past, and then you reopen your heart again to the Father. Joy comes in, a new vision comes in, and joy brings you back into the place of hope, brings you back into a proper God-given perspective on life, and you begin to move forward again as a son or a daughter into the kingdom realms that he has lined up for you. Do you know what? He took Joseph and he elevated him to be number two. If Joseph had stayed in the pit and hated his brothers and wasn't prepared to forgive them and just thought, I will kill every single one of them that once I get my chance, well, then that is not living a fulfilled life before God. You're harboring death in your heart. You're harboring stuff that you're not designed to carry. Your nature or your heart that God gave you is not that way inclined. God washed you clean of all sin when you said yes to him. And so what better way is to keep that as a short account and not get into the trap of thinking, well, I need to, you know, God says that punishment is his, but I want to help him out. Why can't I do this? You know, and you don't want to go there. That is not the way of God. God says, lay those things at the foot of my cross. I am the judge and I will orchestrate handling of these things. So you got to trust that God is on you and on you for good. You've got to let go of the past and say, I'm not carrying this burden anymore. This stuff is killing me, killing my heart, killing my spirit, killing me in life. And yet I know deep down that there's something in me that I know God's way is the right way. So today, make this your day. Stop looking back. Stop carrying the backward vision and start focusing on the forward vision and saying, God, where is your cloud? Where is your fire? From whom comes your help and your strength? From the Lord God Almighty, his source, his strength. It's yours, and it's yours because he has blessed you with it. Come on. You know, Isaiah chapter 54, just as we bring this to a close, Isaiah chapter 54. I want to encourage you with this morning, that if you have been in that place and you have now made a decision this morning to change your ways and to accept God's ways, well, then you have started the journey of return and you're on a better road than you've ever been, because you've learned from the past, you've learned from mistakes, but you're now on the other side of it and you're walking out a new day, because all things are new. When you return to the cross, God makes all things new. Everything shifts, everything changes, and you get to walk out in his ways, his plans, and his purposes for you. You're in a better place. So do it today. Don't delay. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 16, behold, this, I'm reading here, now listen to this. Behold, I myself have created the blacksmith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. If you take a coal out of the fire and you place it outside of the fire hearth, eventually that ember will die out and it will just become a little either piece of rock or it'll become an ash. When you keep yourself out of the family of God and you think that you know you've got it all together, the deception has come upon you that you're deceived, because you're not designed to be a loner. You're not designed to be outside of his family. You're designed to be in family. Hence, scripture says about, is the head to be separated from the body? Can the hand just go off and do its own thing? No, God has a plan. God has a purpose. His ways are better than our ways. And that's where you want to be. So he is saying that he is the Lord God Almighty and he is in charge of the blacksmith and the blowing and the fanning into flame of the, you know, that oxygen is required to get that fire to stir up. And you want that fire again today to be stirred up in your spirit, for your spirit to be quickened again to actually come alive with the Father that you once fell in love with, that you wept and were on your knees when you said, yes, Jesus, I take you as my Lord and Savior. Today, my life is yours. And those days need to be rebought re-brought back into focus so that it's in front of you again. And as you learn a new stepping into the new again, you return to the cross and you submit your life to Jesus and you start on a journey. He is the one that will rekindle the fire. And if you've never had the fire, like John the Baptist said, you know, great, this guy is coming for baptism. I'm not worthy to tie his sandals, but he said that he comes and he will baptize you not only with water, but with fire. Fire, when you're on fire, you're on fire. There's no other way to say it. You're excited about your God and you are focused about your God. It consumes you. It overtakes you, overwhelms you. Your love for him is just like, wow. And in that place, God has your heart. If God hasn't got your heart, well, then you haven't learned how to be soft before your God. And you need to get back to that place of surrender and giving God his rightful place in your life. He owns it. He paid a price for it. So why not walk in his ways and allow him to be the master and the Lord of your circumstances? Circumstances will always come. There will always be hard times that come. But we learn by walking through the previous one how to handle the next ones that come. We are in a learning process of how to stand, how to walk, and how to love our God, and how to be the best me that I can be for Jesus. You know, so God's good. His ways are good. Because in verse 17, it says there, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. So what have you got to lose? A little bit of pride? Kick it into touch. You don't want to carry that stuff. You want to be right with God and know where you are. So no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So there is good days for the taking. There is grapes of abundance upon the vine. And the Lord says, come, eat, come sit at my table and pull up a chair and let's go on this journey together. Now listen, this rolls off the back of the end of Isaiah 54 and begins Isaiah 55. What a better place to end up. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money on what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in the abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Ho! When you get back in connection with the Father again, you get that ho back again. The Spirit of God gets ignited in you, and then you ended up with that Isaiah 6 experience where the angel of the Lord comes to revamp that fire that has virtually gone out. It's just a smoldering wick, and the Lord comes back to you today because you turned your eyes to him. You turned your focus back onto him. You realigned and put your base level right back into its proper place and said, Jesus, there is no other. There is no other way. And it's you I want and you I desire. So today I say, Jesus, come back into my heart. Come back and restore that love for you. Come back, wash me clean again, Father, of all the rubbish and the stuff that I have let surround me and I've let wrap around my legs and the vines that need broken off, the shackles, the chains that need broken off me again. Lord, come. Break me free, set me free, for you are the freedom giver. And today, Jesus, I surrender. I say, yes, 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 I am yours, 100%. No more 20%, no more 50%, no more 75%. I'm all in, Lord, from this point forward. It's you all the way, Jesus. So here I am, Lord, wholly surrendered, wholly committed to you. So today we bless you. Do you know what? The days ahead are greater than the days that you've walked. God has a plan for you. Go after him. Chase down your God today. Seek him out. Stop looking at the others, because the others will always let your eyes down. And eventually it becomes painful and hard to bear because you've elevated them so high that you can't see anything else. And there is a danger in that. So look to Jesus, to him alone. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Not Joe Bloggs' faith, your faith. So connect with the one that loves your soul. connect with the one that paid the price for you. Nobody else paid it. Only him paid it. And leaders, and I call you leaders because some of you maybe have walked away from leading, and yet Lord still sees you as a leader. Come back. There is need of you in this next season. Your hurt and your pain can be washed, can be broken off you. The Lord God Almighty is the giver of the balm of Gilead, that healing ointment that comes, soothes your wounds, and actually heals your soul and restores you back to a focused place of God, to be excited again in your Lord God Almighty and to know his ways, that they're better for you than where you choose to stay at present. So return to the Father. Let him change your life today. So, Lord, we just bless today. We thank you, Lord, looking back as a memory, but we don't have to go back, nor do we have to stay back and dwell in the past, because you are the God who looks to the future. Your vision is the future. Your eyes and your ways show us that there's a better way. So, Lord God Almighty, let the fire of God just fall upon us all today and those that watch this later, Lord, that they would have an encounter of the Spirit of the living God that refreshes, that brings back new joy, new hope, new purpose back into their lives, Lord, and that the old rubbish gets broken off, snapped off us, and in a surrendered heart, you see us and you hear us, and you return to us with all of heaven, and just wrap your robe around us, put a ring back on our finger again, and bring us back into that relationship with you, Lord, that we shut down and we held you back. So, Lord, forgive us for the past. Forgive us what we have not done right, and teach us, O Lord, your ways, because they're far better than ours. So, Lord, we love you this morning. We just say, thank you, God, that you are the amazing Father. And we surrender again to you, the God of life, the life-giving source. We bless you today, and we bless those that are watching to have encounters with the Father, even in this week, that you may have God dreams that actually awaken you to new revelation, that you will encounter people out where you work, out where you actually go through the shops, that you will have encounters that changes other people's lives and their destiny. So we bless you today with all of heaven. We bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for better days ahead. And we call them out, that the shaking of the Lord draw you back into relationship with him and cause goodness, the goodness and mercy to follow you, that those two elements of the Father will follow you through the rest of your days. And there will be no want. There'll be no lack, because he comes with everything that you need at his hands. So we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So thank you guys for tuning in. Remember, if you want to give, you can do so. I'll try and put this up for you here. But if you want to give, no, it's gone. If you want to give, then you can go to the website, and the website, www.fathershouse.co.uk. And on the front page, you'll see PayPal on there and CrossPay. So there's ways to give and sow in a seed to actually get us back to a place of developing a greater ministry before the Lord here locally, blessing people, changing their lives and impacting. You could be part of the answer that God has by sowing in a gift even today that actually changes and brings us back into an awareness of how big God is and how big his vision is for this community here in Christchurch, Dorset. God is on the move. We're saying yes. Are you with us? Are you saying yes as well? So be blessed. Remember, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. So go on to YouTube and search for the Freedom Fire Ministries. You'll see our symbol on there. And there we have our messages. So subscribe to that and come and be a partner with us as we develop the ministry that God has told us about, that is in the future, that's coming to us. And we are walking towards it and saying, God, open doors where doors don't seem to be opening. You're the God who opens them. So we trust you, God, and we love you guys to be with us, to partner with us, and to be on this journey together. It is the body coming together, knitting together, and dwelling together, and walking out the blessings of the Lord. So we bless you today. God bless. We'll talk to you later.